Hello and welcome to Blockchain Gaming World with me, John Jordan. In this interview, I'm talking to Randy Saf, the CEO, and Fazri Zubar, the CTO of US developer Lucidsight. Now, Lucidsight is interesting as it's a game developer that's been involved in mobile games and then went into VR games and was an early pioneer in blockchain games. It's best known, certainly in the States, for its MLB crypto baseball game, which uses the Major League Baseball license. That launched at the end of September 2018 and is coming back for the new season in 2019. And also, it has a game called CSC, Crypto Space Commander, that's been in development for over a year now. It's a very ambitious space combat and trading game. So I talked to Randy and Fazri about the development of those two games and also what they've learned from operating blockchain games so far, particularly in the area of how to get new users, how to onboard new users in the best possible way. And also we talk a little bit about where they see the industry going and the big challenges that are available in 2019. Of course, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. You can also follow me on Twitter and check out Blockchain Gaming World on YouTube to keep up to date with the hottest blockchain games. And check out the notes to get links to Lucidsight and its games to see what those guys are up to. But thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. So, hello, Randy and Fazri from Lucidsight. How's it going in LA?
Good, good.
Yeah, hi, great.
So, maybe to start off, it would be good if you can tell us a bit about Lucidsight, what you guys do, and how you got into blockchain.
Sure. Yeah. Lucidsight's what we call it, a frontier gaming studio. So we were founded in 2015. Prior to Lucidsight, we had an iPhone gaming company that became an ad network called Ad Colony. We back in 2008, we had 14 of the first 100 free iPhone games. So that's kind of, our kind of credibility on trying to game on frontiers that are untested before. That actually work out quite well. So in 2015, we were doing a bunch of VR titles. And when blockchain started getting mature in 2017, we got really excited about digital scarcity. My other partner, Octavio, and I were children of the 80s, so we kind of grew up during peak collecting. So the concept of digital collectibles that could hold value and go up in value really, really resonated with us. So we went out and, long story short, got a license with Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association to launch the first digital collectibles game on with a major sports brand.
Hmm. And Fazri, I think you were the person who was kind of more into blockchain to begin with. Was that right? You're the technical guy. From a technical point of view, why was it interesting, or are you just kind of interested in technical things because you're like a tech geek guy?
Tech geek guy is probably more accurate. But actually, blockchain it kind of came from Randy on his end. He has a friend that's big into Bitcoin, and it kind of put our sights on blockchain as being the tool that we could use to create digital scarcity. So from college, I've been using blockchain, interested in Bitcoin, and its use as a collectible or a use as providing digital scarcity to game items was something that we kind of came together in brainstorming sessions here and now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way to look at Lucidsight is we're kind of game and tech guys who got interested in blockchain for the very specific purpose of gaming, as opposed to, I think, the vast majority of the space are crypto people who are kind of figuring out gaming. So it's kind of the two sides of the spectrum and how we kind of see ourselves.
Hmm. And you kind of, Randy, you kind of skated over, cut a long story short, that you got this license. But how much you want to dig into? I mean, how easy is it to get like a license like Major League Baseball? Obviously, how the Major League Baseball guys, how much do they know about crypto? Was it they see it as an opportunity or as a challenge?
Yeah. Well, when we first started thinking about this stuff, Ethereum was just being born. So when our first kind of thinking about this was, Bitcoin counterparty tokens, right? Kind of what Spells of Genesis is built on. And, when we first started talking to Major League Baseball, it was really early 2017. We went in there, they got the concept right away in the sense that, baseball is baseball is the quintessential collector's brand, especially in the United States. It's baseball cards are sort of the the term you invoke when you want to explain scarcity to anybody for anything. I even use it for Bitcoin when I'm trying to explain Bitcoin to my mom. I'll talk about baseball cards because it's very intuitive, and the sport's 150 years old. So, when we went in there, they got it right away. But of course, this is ICO mania in 2017. And so there was a lot of explaining on how this isn't, crooked. It's not full of, illegal activity. And there's different, uses of this technology besides the, the ICO, which, was quite a challenge, right? That was quite a challenge to explain to them that this is different. So, they had lawyers. We had lawyers. We spent a lot of time. Took about a year. So the entire process of licensing was about a year-long process. And quite honestly, I think Major League Baseball is one of the few brands out there, one of the few AAA brands that would actually take this experiment, take this leap. Most AAA brands, are comfortable being fast followers. They're comfortable seeing kind of how things shake out. And Major League Baseball, we happen to, really get lucky in the sense that they're very, very forward thinking.
And it wasn't just you didn't have the baseball license because you've got all the players' likenesses as well. So that's a different license. Not that I'm a baseball expert.
That's right. It's a completely separate license. We also have a license with the Major League Baseball Players Association. It's a union. They're run completely separate organizations, a completely separate negotiation. I think, it will be a long time before we see another, what we call dual license in the sports arena around blockchain. It'll be, I don't know how long it is, but it won't be this year. Or it won't be, in the next coming months. So we have something very special with our dual license, and we have a long contract with them, and they're extremely supportive. So they also, we're on MLB.com. They supported a giveaway of digital bobbleheads at the Los Angeles Dodgers game. Now, while that maybe doesn't sound like a big deal, it was 40,000 live attendees at the same time getting a digital bobblehead, which is just a phenomenal thing for not only our game, but just the blockchain space in general.
And how have you, how do you think it's gone down in terms of you have a kind of a baseball audience, that's, some of which is kind of fairly geeky into numbers, and obviously baseball's very stat heavy. And then you've had something which is kind of geeky and in a different way, the kind of crypto thing. Have those two things meshed as you thought, or is there the kind of more education?
Yeah, I think we have a unique thing with our baseball game in that, unlike I think a lot of the other blockchain games, 75% of our players in our game had never owned Ethereum before. We got that via sort of loose surveys on our Discord. Versus I think the other blockchain games, almost 100% are kind of existing Ethereum crypto fans. So and the reason is because I think that as I said, baseball is a 150-year-old sport that's ripe with, a collectible tradition. So a lot of the players of our game were basically baseball card collectors and are baseball card collectors. And people are very serious about their baseball card collecting. So in that sense, I think that we demand, our fans tend to be pretty serious people, whether or not they're, serious about baseball or they're serious about blockchain.
And from a technical point of view, Fazri, how easy is it to deploy this sort of game on Ethereum? I guess generally people know Ethereum for kind of problems. How did you kind of work around what you thought were going to be problems?
Yeah, absolutely. Ethereum does have its challenges at scale. We saw this with CryptoKitties, and we even saw it with MLB last season when we launched the game. One of the things we knew coming into this from a technical perspective is there is limited scale and limited number of transactions Ethereum can handle. So we had actually launched about 50% of the game off-chain, 50% on-chain. What we learned from this, though, was even 50% on-chain, I think there was times where we were 20% of Ethereum's total traffic. So there's definitely a lot of growth that Ethereum has to do if it's ever going to run a game at scale. But what ended up being more important and what we found out from our players is as long as we keep the important things on-chain, like ownership, a lot of the gameplay aspects can be moved off-chain as it needs to be, since we're interfacing with MLB APIs and we're getting live game stats. A lot of that stuff doesn't happen natively on-chain anyways. So definitely challenging with Ethereum, but I think, as we had a successful season last year, this season we've upgraded and reviewed what we do on-chain, what we do off-chain to make it a better, more streamlined, more user-intuitive experience.
And I think that that seems to be what a lot of the kind of blockchain game pioneers have gone through. It's that slight enthusiasm to begin with, where it's kind of like we're going to stick maybe not everything on the chain, but the chain, you know, the important bit about a blockchain game is being on the blockchain, and then the kind of reality of like, well, actually, what really matters? What do people really care about? And kind of finding, I guess it's different for each game, but finding that kind of balance between what makes a nice user experience and what is, you know, like a red line that, well, you know, the thing people really care about.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you remember, like I've been saying at your conferences, you know, since the very beginning, you're either going to have a game that's super heavy blockchain that's really crappy, or you're going to have a game that has blockchain as a feature that's really good. You're never going to have both. It just, it's impossible. And it's not even just a sort of Ethereum scaling issue. It's just a blockchain issue. You know, we're firm believers at this company, again, coming from the game side, that gamers are going to want to play on iOS, Android devices. They're going to want to play on their PC and their consoles. They're not going to, you know, we're not going to be bringing a mass of gamers back to web gaming with blockchain. It's just not going to happen. So in that sense, some of the stuff is going to have to happen off chain, and it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that as long as the items of value stay on chain.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I've learned a bit about baseball through following what you guys were up to last year. So I've learned a few things, like when the season starts, and obviously you kind of ended up for various issues, kind of launching kind of towards the end of the season. So you only had like a kind of truncated kind of a period of time when the actual Major League Baseball season was actually happening. And you mentioned a little bit how you've been looking to kind of take what you learned from that kind of brief time and put it into, I don't know how you're describing it, the 2019 edition. So what are the kind of key changes that you've made for this new season? I think it starts end of March.
Yeah. So exactly. Inherent to our game is playing along with the baseball game as it's happening. So, you know, as you know, a player hits a grand slam, it affects the outcome of the game, and that therefore affects the character that you've collected, right? If Clayton Kershaw pitches a perfect game, then that will, you know, increase the value of that Clayton Kershaw. Try to capture these, something that's never been capturable before in collectibles, the real-time events. You know, that's never actually been something that's been possible before, and so we think that's pretty special. We're keeping all that with this new season. We're improving a lot of the gameplay elements, you know, making it a lot more playable, taking a lot of the gameplay off chain that kind of, I think, tripped up a lot of our core player group. You know, people didn't like paying $1 to play the game. You know, that part of the game wasn't fun, you know, just wasting $1 in gas. Trying to estimate what your gas should be to do a transaction wasn't fun for the player. So we're going to get rid of that. And the biggest thing we're going to change for this following season is we're going to accept fiat for playing our games. So the idea there is that, you know, as I said, 75% of our players had never owned Ethereum before. They're not sort of, you know, ride or die crypto people going to, you know, the ETH conferences. They're just baseball fans. They dig the digital scarcity part. They respect the blockchain as the tech that enables that, but they don't really want to get into the whole, you know, MetaMask, you know, buy Ethereum, transfer it to MetaMask. They don't want to get into all that. That's not exciting for them. So by accepting fiat and just sort of the onboarding process is going to be a lot like a regular game this season with all the blockchain stuff there when the person wants to get into that stuff. You know, at the point where somebody wants to, you know, we're kind of referring to a check it out. If they want to check out the item and put it on OpenSea, they can do all that. The you know, the super sophisticated Ethereum users can still play the game the way they played it last season. But the new players, our first time user, their Fatui, our first time user experience is going to be a very slick onboarding process with fiat.
Yeah, it does seem to be that again, it's something that the early kind of blockchain pioneers, you know, and rightly so, you have to get, you know, to learn, you have to do something, and obviously, kind of MetaMask was and I guess still is to some degree a default kind of way of getting people in and dealing with kind of wallets and keys and that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, easier than some other ways, but equally I think people have been surprised how much of a challenge it is to get people to just kind of sign up to MetaMask and understand what MetaMask is doing. And certainly, you know, I guess we all remember the first time we set up a blockchain wallet and we got this, you know, 12 words or 15 words or whatever the wallet uses. And you go, if you lose this, you lose everything. And you just go, really? How can this be a thing? It just seems so bizarre.
Or the first time you transfer Ether from Coinbase, you know, it's like you hold your breath and you kind of hope it goes through, you know, and after you've done it a few times, you get comfortable. But that first time you're like, you don't know what's happening.
I guess even with that proviso, what happened kind of last time, I think it was still surprising that you guys, you know, you rank pretty high in terms of those kind of marketplaces like OpenSea, in terms of the kind of activity going on there. You had some pretty interesting kind of sales, the Babe Ruth stuff that seemed to go pretty well, and obviously the kind of World Series is the end, kind of, you know, tokenizing the winner of the season that year. But those seemed to go pretty well. So were you generally happy with the kind of that kind of side of the game?
This is a seasonal game. I mean, it's intended to be sort of, you know, a seasonal game that goes along with the baseball season. The fact that the off season, the trading has been extremely robust on OpenSea. And the other platforms, the price of the collectibles coming into this season is starting to double. So, you know, it's great to see all that stuff. Like, we have nothing to do with that. You know, we're just kind of sitting back passively building for, you know, next season. It's great to see the activity. But what we saw, though, is that, you know, baseball has, you know, tens of millions of fans. I mean, it's a gigantic sport, in America, at least. It's a gigantic sport, you know, along with NBA and NFL. It's one of the big three. And we saw a funnel of traffic come to our site that was unbelievable. Again, coming from MLB.com, the Players Association sends us traffic. The team sent us traffic, and you know, we were converting a very small amount of those people. So it's actually pretty straightforward for this season. We just got to give the first time people. You know, they use this term in mobile. It's fatui. I don't know why that term doesn't get used in blockchain space as much. It should be. It's the most important thing is the first time a user gets into an app, they need to, you know, you can lose them. You have a funnel of steps where you lose users. And we were just losing too many players.
Now, I think that's, as you mentioned, with your experience of mobile games and, you know, the one thing you have to be a good mobile game developer is laser sharp about onboarding and first time user experience because you're giving away stuff for free. So in that, if you can't get people into your game, then you die as a company. You know, and I agree. It's kind of, I think the blockchain people are kind of, you know, not slowly waking up, but after they've done, you know, certainly one project, they really kind of understand that every user counts.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And how are you guys dealing then in terms of platform? Are you, cause you were kind of just browser last year. Are you looking to integrate web in any way? Web mobile. Sorry.
Yeah, for MLB this year, we're definitely going to have a mobile app coming out probably mid-season. That's something that will be able to play the game. People could adjust their game cards, watch real-time game events come in, collect their rewards. So it'll be a nice, robust mobile experience that we hope to onboard a lot of new users. For CSC as well, CSC is primarily a PC game. So it runs currently on its own client outside of the web just for the robustness of the 3D graphics. And that will also be coming in July to Steam, which will be our first time bringing a blockchain game into the Steam platform that could coexist with the future mobile releases.
Cool. So we'll get on to Crypto Space Commander, CSC, in a minute. I just going into the mobile side of things. What's your view on dealing with Apple and Google? Obviously, there's different games companies, blockchain games companies, who are going mobile seem to have different ways of trying to appease them.
Yeah, I mean the thing about Apple, you know, Google's pretty straightforward. You know, Google's not too challenging. But the thing about Apple that is actually, you just have to read their terms and services. So they're very religious about their terms and services. And their terms and services are plain English. Nobody likes to read terms and services. You know, game developers certainly don't start their game development process reading Apple's terms and services. But they lay out pretty clearly what you can and can't do. So I actually don't think it's going to be as big a problem in the blockchain gaming space as some people are worried about. I think it just comes down to maybe you won't be able to do everything that you can do in a web client, for example. But I think as long as you follow the terms of services, and I think the Fortnite, you know, crossplay kind of being the, it's kind of pushed everything forward, right? I mean, you know, obviously everybody wants their walled garden and protect it. Fortnite pressed the issue, forced everybody to open up with crossplay. And I think this is kind of a cousin to crossplay in a sense. This is crossplay with digital ownership.
Okay, so let's talk a bit more about Crypto Space Commander. So that's a project, I suppose, that's actually getting on for, well, not quite a year, but you went through, I guess, a quite what's now a traditional kind of process, but you were one of the early ones. You did a pre-sale of items, and then there was a mini game with those items, and then you've been kind of scaling up development since then. So explain, I guess, a bit from the ground up for people who don't know, what is Crypto Space Commander? What was the kind of idea behind it?
Sure thing. So Crypto Space Commander, a CSE, is a space MMORPG. And the idea behind this is taking one of the things blockchain does really well, creating scarcity in assets, and then wrapping that into a game that's always really played towards this genre, scarcity, trade, crafting. So along those lines, we came up with CSC, Crypto Space Commander. And Crypto Space Commander is a game where the user owns a ship. You play the ship as your character, and then you could go out into the universe, model after our local universe, mine resources. These resources that you mine are blockchain assets, craft item, the items that you craft are blockchain assets, and then trade it in an in-game economy and in a third-party economy on OpenSea or on a marketplace on our website. In a nutshell, this is very similar to EVE Online, a very popular space MMORPG, but taking the economy out of the developer's hands and putting it more in the player's hands.
So again, how are you dealing with on-chain and off-chain? Because obviously this is a bit more of a, I guess, traditional game than the Major League Baseball one, which is a bit more of a collectible game. So how are you chopping that?
Yeah, so on-chain and off-chain, you know, very early on, you know, we were selling assets, we were talking to our users, and I think there's a general consensus. To make a proper game, there needs to be some type of centralized control. You can't have a game completely decentralized, because then you lose a lot of the fun elements of it. Because the game devs, I always like to use the Dungeons & Dragons analogy. You can't have a game of Dungeons & Dragons where there is no game master. Everyone can't have a vote on what's going to happen, or you're always going to vote to kill the dragon right away. Instead, you really do need a centralized authority for the game that kind of makes it fun, drops the space whales when there's a big event, creates, you know, new resources for people to hunt down. And a lot of the CSC community, being primarily crypto players, very much accept that, as long as, you know, the fundamental of crypto is established, which is the assets are on-chain and the users can detach it from the game and take it to secondary markets, or they can have private ownership of it. So when the users play in the game in CSC, they have to actually check their items in through a check-in system. When it's checked in, we have full control of the assets. So if your ship blows up, it blows up. If you craft a resource, those are consumed. But as soon as you want to take that out, bring it back to your hardware wallet, bring it back into MetaMask, that's always an option for you to do so.
And as I say, the game's been in development getting on probably for over a year now, isn't it? Where are you at the moment? You've had, I think, various playables available.
Correct. So it's probably been about over a year since we started talking about CSC, and it's been in development. At this point, we're at our 0.5 alpha. So we have a live playable that's a full MMO. Users get on all the time, and we host events. We host battle arena events. It's been amazing to see the community growth on this. Our own community members are holding their own events, giving out their own prizes, just to kind of drum up more interest in the game and just having fun doing so. So right now we're on our push to our 1.0 alpha, and this is going to be kind of the major milestone for the game. This is where we have persistence, we have true loss, and our Discord community has been amazing at really bumping this up and growing this this game.
Yeah, I think right now, you know, if people want to check it out, the best way to do it is to go jump in our Discord. Our CSC Discord, and then just see the activity of the people playing, because right now there's it's crypto, right? So there's a small group of really diehard fans, and they're organizing activities. But what's cool about it is the game is set up as an MMO and a self-sustaining economy. So I think one way we're looking at our game versus a lot of games is we want this to be, you know, one of the first self-sustaining economies, because with a lot of these, you know, you buy the collectible, or you breed the kitty. And then what do you do with that? You breed another kitty, right? There's nothing really, there's no economic loop there, right? Whereas with our game, it's a classic crafting MMO. where you craft so that you can improve your battleship so that you can go battle. You battle, your ship blows up or you lose your laser. Then you have to go craft another one. So there's this constant economic loop of discovery, of battling, of crafting. And I think that, this is going to be a really this is going to fit in with crypto a lot better than a lot of crypto concepts out there for gaming.
Mm. Yeah, certainly in terms of creating a self-sustaining kind of economic model where I guess you're, to a degree, pricing the initial kind of scenarios of kind of ships. And I don't know if you're going to price resources as well, but certainly after a while, the fact is people will be crafting stuff in the game and they'll basically sell it at the price they can sell it at. I mean, so
that's right. Like our space station, early on when we were launching the game, sold for $57,000, right? Which is, it's like one of the big crypto kitties, $100,000 sales, right? It's a big ticket item. That we sold that. We promised we would never sell another one of those, but players will be able to craft that. It'll take a lot of crafting. It'll take a ton of grinding, hours and hours of resources, but it is achievable at some point in the game. And that is the sort of the kind of really, to me, much more interesting than, like when we first started doing this, the hold the bag games were pretty much the only thing out there, right? So I think a complete economic loop is really going to be interesting in crypto.
But I guess the other, on the flip side, it's much harder because potentially the decisions you make now will have repercussions years down the line, where in a normal non-blockchain game, you could potentially change some of those things. Whereas maybe in a blockchain game, you're stuck with what seemed like a good decision.
That's definitely the case. And we've been super transparent with our community. Like in the end, everyone wants to have a balanced, fun experience. And so we have some rules that we've put into place for ourselves, like how we're going to balance, if we're going to ever nerf an item or take away some abilities. And I think it's kind of a play by ear thing. Our intent is never nerf or go back on anything we say with an item. And I think we can keep that going, especially with the game design that we have. And for example, if we released a laser weapon today that was super powerful, and then a year down the road it's overpowered, then what do we do to fix it? Well, we release shields that balance that out. So we could actually, kind of like in a real life scenario, when one person builds a taller building and they're getting more business than you, you could build an even taller building than that to get more business from them. It's going to be a constant race between users to kind of almost one-up each other in different aspects of the game to kind of keep the economy going forward. And we'll see how this plays out over the next year or two.
Good. So final question. I guess considering the whole blockchain space has not been around for very long, but we've seen quite a lot of ups and downs in terms of kind of sentiment. What's your kind of gut feeling for 2019? How do you think it's playing out or will play out?
Well, how it will play out, it's too early to say how it's played out. I want to see 2019 as what I would refer to as a crossover year for our company, because I don't believe that, like right now, the funnel of the players are people who are currently holding Ethereum, right? And not just holding Ethereum on Coinbase, which is the vast majority of people who own Ethereum, just leave it in their Coinbase account or Kraken or whatever. To basically take this outside of a world of just people who are actively, using, MetaMask to a world of traditional gamers and start to do the crossover message that this is really about digital scarcity versus, what coin camp you're in or what ICO you participated in. This is a new way of adding a feature to gaming that I think applies to a lot, that will over time apply to a lot of different types of games that are not just, pure blockchain games. And for that to happen, we need a crossover year. So I'm hoping MLB and CSC are, in my dream, those are the two kind of first games that have a crossover appeal where non-blockchain people are playing them and blockchain people are playing them. And the real key feature for both is digital scarcity. It's just that the blockchain people care about the nuts and bolts, and the non-blockchain people don't care. And I kind of use the analogy sometimes of, when your website's delivered, your average consumer doesn't care if the website came in via TCP/IP or some variation of UDP. They don't really care. Yahoo Finance coming up. In the same way, I think there's going to be a lot of people who enjoy digital scarcity in gaming who won't necessarily know or understand or care about the pipes that deliver it.
No, absolutely. Definitely. Finding the balance between, I think, user experience and decentralization is maybe another way of putting that.
Exactly.
Cool. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for your time, gents.
Yeah, thanks, John.
And thanks for listening, for listening on the podcast. Don't forget, you can give us any comments on Twitter. I'm at BlockchainGMG. You can find us on YouTube at Blockchain Gaming World. And come back next week to find out what's going on in the world of blockchain games. It's going to be a very busy March. I'm out in Dubai next week talking about blockchain games at the Digital Games Conference with a number of other people. So hopefully I'll be catching up with them. And also then we're off to GDC, the big conference in San Francisco, where I'm going to be running a half-day conference about blockchain games with Tron and Cocos BCX. So plenty to be talking about over the coming weeks. Don't forget to subscribe to make sure you don't miss a thing.